It is the Valenti Show with Rico. I'm Stoney in for Mr. Valenti. All week you got to put up with my crap. What's up, Rico? How are you? Kenny Cott is healthy. The hatchet is here. David Hall. What's going on, boys?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm just preparing for a week with you, Stoney. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
You know what? There are worse things in life. I could be digging ditches or working with me, praying that nothing inappropriate comes out of my mouth.
I was about to say, Stoney, you are the human embodiment of keeping your head on a swivel and just making sure.
Yeah.
Did Stoney just, yeah, he did.
Which Michael Rasmussen would have done that yesterday, getting that cheap shot that he got hit by, was Zegras of the Ducks yesterday, so. Anyway, yes. You doing good, Rico?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, good weekend?
I did.
Yeah, I mean, started off great.
I did. My Friday night was really good, and had a really good weekend. And it kind of leads to where I want to go with this.
Okay.
So, Jeff Rieger was here on Friday, and Rieger and I got into the whole, well, who would win the Michigan-Michigan State game? And Rieger, you know, he was just going full, like, this is it. Michigan State's going to lose this game. And I'm like, okay, well, Jeff, you know, we'll see. You know, he's like, Izzo is done. And
Izzo is done?
Dusty May, he's going to be this thing. And it's just like, okay, Jeff, I get it. But are you really this way? So he makes this bet with me on the air that he upped it. In the parking lot, because I told David, like, it changed. And he gave me Michigan State and 8 points in a 3-for-1 bet for dinner. And they lose. And then I didn't want to call Jeff the next day because I'm not that guy. I don't want to be that guy where it's just like, okay, you can't wait to rub it in. So I let it go for a little bit. And then I finally called him. Rieger was devastated. I mean, devastated. Like, you could hear it in his voice the next day. Hey, you know how, Stoney, you've been in the loser locker room before.
Oh, yeah.
That was Rieger. Rieger was loser locker room voice where he was just, yeah, you know, we.
For a Michigan State, big rivalry, but near the end of season, basketball game, regular season where they're going to play again in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Devastated.
Michigan State wins 75-62, and Rieger just had this long list of things. Apparently, he went on Twitter or X, and he just was. I was just like, okay, that was your first mistake, Jeff. Just when you're that angry, put your phone down because you're only going to say things you're going to regret. You're only going to do things that you're going to have to apologize for later. He was just like, this team is soft. They are this, they are that. My question to you guys out there, 248-539-9797, before I land this plane, Kenny, and then I'll let you talk. How old is too old to have this type of visceral reaction where it destroys everything? I'm not saying you cannot be angry, and then about a half hour later, you kind of move on. I'm talking where it still sits in your craw for 24-48 hours. Rieger is still mad. I talked to him. He is still angry over this game. And I'm like, Jeff, they're going to play again. I know, but it was embarrassing. And you heard go green, go white. And the players are soft. And I'm like, you know they're going to play again, right? I'll give you a chance to get your money back. But it devastated him. So it just led me to wonder, at what age is too old to be this way?
It depends on the stakes and the situation. There are people that are a lot older than Jeff Rieger who were devastated by the Lions Commanders game for weeks. And I understand that. But for this, no. I could understand if it was Michigan State football, trouble at the snap game. That might take you a year to get over. I understand that, no matter how old you are, if you're a big fan. But that game? Come on, really?
So I'm just wondering if Rieger was upset because of the loss or of all the stuff that he was talking to you and online and Twitter, and he was wrong. Jeff seems like the kind of guy who'd be angrier about being wrong than a loss.
Oh, no. He was more angry that Michigan State won. No, he is a type that, and I know we all know those people who, would you rather your team win or the other team loses? He 100% would rather MSU loses. MSU goes into Chrysler, wins 75-62. did everything how I told him it was going to happen. And I think that was part of the thing that he had to admit that I was correct. Now, you know who it did not bother? Vlad Goldin, center for Michigan. Want to know why? About 30 minutes after the game, he decided, I think I'm going to get engaged.
Good for him.
Right there in center court.
He's got his priorities straight.
No, it's not good for him. You change your plans. That's a bad omen, I'm telling you.
Stoney,
you change your plans and say, you know what? I'll do this tomorrow in private.
Well, I hope the young man has a long... I'm sorry. I hope that he has a long marriage. It's very successful, very fruitful, healthy. You could have waited 24 hours. You could... If I'm his teammate, I would... No, you're not doing this. No, no. Because... Maybe this, I would rather it sit with him the way it sat with Jeff Rieger. Because he's an actual player. In like 24, she ain't going nowhere. She's been waiting 2 years. She'll wait another 24 hours.
I get it, but...
That's a bad look.
I'm going to give him a pass because he's new to the rivalry, maybe. I mean...
That's the problem. Then
at that point, I blame Dusty May and I blame everybody in that program. Hell, Ward Manuel should have been standing out there blocking him like, no, no, no. No, no. Go back in the locker room, son. Go take a shower. Go think about this. You just got your ass handed to you, and this is the first thing you wanted to do? Come on, man. But, hey, I could be wrong. 248-539-9797.
I get it completely, but it's because he didn't understand the depths of the rivalry is how I take out of it. And maybe he had permission. Maybe he asked. I have no idea.
I just think,
first of all, with Rieger, and you just, that's the what I don't like about trolling. You troll and you talk crap afterwards. He talks crap before the final. It's like him and even like our buddy TJ after the United States beat Canada on the regular game. Mm-hmm. Oh, we own you. Yeah, really? How's it look now? I mean, seriously. But then again, I'm not a big trash talker. But if you are going to talk trash after, not before, because then you end up looking like a dumbass.
No, I mean, in essence, you talk your trash before because it's easy to talk trash afterwards because it's like, oh, but I just don't. I think that there has to be a cutoff age where games just don't become the gut punch that they used to be. Like for me, I remember I was in my 20s and it was the Braylon Edwards game at Michigan and John L. Smith. And they had somehow had this gigantic lead and they lost it. And Braylon just goes nuts.
Right.
And I was devastated. I mean, just utterly devastated. Just didn't want to talk. Ruined my entire weekend.
Oh, I've had as a kid.
That was some 20-some years ago.
I know. I had one in the 70s when the Flyers got knocked out of the playoffs with 4 seconds left in the season. And I just went completely bat you know what when I was 12, 13 years old. Look, there are still plays, and I've talked about this before. I'm taking a shower. All of a sudden, I see Rasheed double Ginobili and Robert Ori's up. Still today. That still happens. Plays.
See, that's the one. That's the one that did it for me. And I was out of high school by then.
Yeah.
But you're right. To this day, if they play that on NBA TV right now.
I can't watch.
I would yell. I would scream. I would say, get this off of my TV.
Yeah.
Because it still upsets me. But again, I was 20 years right. old, 19 exactly. years right. old. So
yeah.
Now, please. I was upset. I heard go green, go white at the end of that game. But an hour later, you think I cared?
No.
No, I moved on and said, you know, we'll see you at the end of the season.
Now, plus the go green, go white. I mean, there were the few years where Michigan was really down where it was because Chrysler was Breslin.
It was.
I mean, so it wasn't like that. So Michigan fans should be happy about that.
Well, no, it was a large percentage of Michigan fans wearing yellow. I don't know why the student section had those ridiculous cowboy hats that lit up. I mean, the only thing missing was circus music. And then it was just funny because you're watching Trey Holloman hit three after three after three. When Fears banked into three, somebody called in a bomb threat at Chrysler because it was just yellow walking out of the building. They were done. Game was over. Rieger, crushed, devastated. I chastised him, and he's like, no, I'm allowed. I was like, Rieger, you're too old for this. So I just decided to put it to the people and ask the people, 248-539-9797, at what point do you not let sports just a loss, a regular season loss, affect you like this. I'm not going to – like, I get it. NFC Championship game last year. I understand.
Josh Reynolds dropping the ball. You with Tart dropping the pass from Stafford a few years ago.
Like
right,
I get certain games. But even then, I was angry. I only get angry when Mike brings it back up, and I'm just like, would you just leave me alone? But 48 hours later, you're still sitting stewing over this, and you're going to play the team again? Yeah, we'll get to your phone calls. We'll get to your ticket text next. But at what point, at what age do you just say, no, not enough? Or if there's still a game that you can't let go, let us know what it is. 248-539-9797.
248-539-9797. Jeff Rieger, I guess it shouldn't be that stunning, Rico, knowing Mr. Rieger, but he was very upset with his favorite college basketball team on Friday. I guess he really thought that they were going to win.
He did. And
Michigan State was favored on the road, if I'm not mistaken.
No, Michigan was favored.
Michigan was favored?
Michigan was favored by 3.5 points.
Okay, I know it's 3.5 because I forgot. I bet it.
Yeah, and he was like, I'll give you 8 points. Yeah, we're going to win. I was like, you can give me 8 points? All right, I'm going to take the 8 points.
Yes.
Even when you win, you only win by 3 points or less. So I'm thinking I'm covered either way. But, yeah, in the second half, when Michigan ran out of gas and the Michigan State point guards just kept making basket after basket. And like I said, and when Jeremy Fears makes a three, let alone banks in a three, man, you're in trouble. Because he's not the great. He is basically Tum-Tum Nair in 2.0. But he makes the shot. He sends the crowd away. Rieger, utter devastation. I did, David, before we get to the phones and the ticket text, a friend of mine did text me and said that the game, he's still not over, and he's older than me, and he sent me a text saying, need you ask, don't even ask why, is the Syracuse, Michigan State, Syracuse beating them 55-53.
He didn't send you a glossy of Ben Carter?
No, he did not, but that's, don't even get him started on that. That's one where we just end the conversation. No matter what we're talking about, I'm like, okay, Chuck, and we're done. Good night. Goodbye.
That game
We're
was done. Ridiculous.
So what is that game that you can't let go of? Or are you like me? Like, there's a time and a place, and as you get older, these things don't matter as much. And I got to think about it. Like, Rieger, you got to – because I told him, like, Rieger, you got a family. You got a kid. Are you really this devastated over this game?
Right. I could see it being, you know, him being devastated when they lost the Trey Burke game with a controversial block, no block. That you know,
championship game.
Right, this is ridiculous.
They're going to play again in 2 weeks, but yes. he was devastated. So quick ticket text, Dave, before we get to the phone call.
Yeah, someone's basically texting exactly what you just said. Steve from Lansing says, once you have children, it is time to grow up and not let sports affect you. Much higher priorities in life, fellas.
Right, and I don't have kids, but I'm just like, Jeff, are you serious? I mean, David, I called him and I thought maybe, you know, like his kid was like right there asleep because you know,
trying to be quiet.
Right, he was like, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, I'm like, Rieger, you okay? You need to, and you're like, no, I'm fine. Kid right there? No.
Then he brought her to work the next day.
Right, he's like, no, I'm just so angry. And I mean, it was like when you go into the loser's locker room and you speak in the whisper, like, so you lost this game. And coach, how does it feel knowing that you suck?
You're so righty. You're so right because we all do. We're guilty. We ask the question like we're upset.
Right. It's a whisper.
That was after the Commanders game. All the media were, Dan, how does it feel? Devastating. You didn't do it to them.
Right.
They did it to themselves.
Right.
Here's another one. Rico, if you love sports, especially when it comes to your teams, it's never too old to be upset and stay mad for a long time. That is from Marlon.
See, Marlon, I get the upset. I'm not saying you can't be upset, you can't be angry, you can't be mad, you can't be frustrated. I'm saying when it sticks with you for 48 hours, a regular season game.
I was going to say, the question becomes, how long are you able to stay? Are you allowed to stay upset about a game?
I mean, a couple hours. Thank
you. Because it took me like days to get over the Niners loss last year. It took me days.
But see, I get that.
But it's higher as a regular season game.
For a regular season game?
Okay, so the Lions lose to Buffalo. 3 days later, are you still like, oh, my goodness, we lost to the Bills?
I woke up the next morning and was like, that sucked, but today's Monday.
Yeah, you're more upset that you had three guys get injured in that game than the actual loss.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's why. He's like utterly devastated. I'm like, they play again in 2 weeks. Well, there's no way we can beat you there and blah, 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 and we suck and blah, blah. Okay, Jeff. That's okay. You know what? Just pay me my dinner.
Let's go to Cal in Bloomfield. What's up, Cal?
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Good.
Hey, man.
So, I mean, I was telling this call screener, both of you guys will remember this. He didn't, but you boys will. Game 6 of the 1988 NBA Finals will never, ever not be a raw cut to me. Bill Laimbeer to this day still hasn't touched Kareem.
There are so many layers to that. Get the siren, because I was out covering that game for Channel 4, and the locker room had already been cellophane for champagne. And then let's forget Isaiah was playing on the ankle, had that great thing. He threw that bad pass that Byron Scott intercepted. They cut the lead to one, and then the play that you're talking about, the phantom foul.
Yeah, and that thing is, that cost us a three-peat. Not just title at the point, yes, but eventually it would have been a three-peat.
Well, you assume, if everything played out. But what's interesting about that, not to go too deep into the woods, but I'm convinced that Adrian Dantley would have been the finals MVP if they would have won that series, so that they've still traded him the following year. I mean, you have no idea. There's a lot of, ifs and buts there.
Great question.
But then again, you could think, wouldn't Isaiah be the MVP putting up 43 points in that game, winning game 6?
No, because I think Dantley was the guy the rest of the series, I think. But We'll never know.
You'll never know. Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah. That was a tough one. Yeah. That was definitely a toughie.
But once again, game 6.
Yes. Your first ever.
Kenny.
Your first ever. Detroit Piston Championship is right there.
Right.
They never won one before.
Right. NFC Championship game. I get that. Regular season game? Yeah. Like I said, when you're younger, you could be angry, you could be upset, but then you move on.
I think the last regular season game I truly got upset was, I believe it was the Jesse James. I always mix it up with Heath Miller. Jesse James game against the Patriots, where it should have been a touchdown. They called it not a touchdown. But I knew that affected seeding. And we ended up losing in the playoffs because we weren't the number one seed.
Right.
The Patriots were. So that was upsetting because I knew what the result was going to be. It's like, we're not going to get the number one seed now. But that's a long time ago. So 2017.
Yeah.
I think the last one I got upset at was last year when the Wings went on that losing streak. They lost to like San Jose
and Anaheim,
and I think they lost to Phoenix too, or Arizona now. They went on that trip, and every one of those losses,
they lost to them twice, I believe.
Dagger.
Yeah,
they lost to Arizona twice.
Yes,
or Utah.
Yep,
they lost to the Coyotes twice within 2 weeks. And they had back-to-back losses to San Jose and Anaheim.
But that wasn't even one game. Oh, no, that was
the San Jose Anaheim was this year. They lost back-to-back to.
The road trip they went out west last year, and they lost to a bunch of teams they should have beat. But that's more than one game. That doesn't count.
Right. I mean, losing you know what, over... You know, there are people, but it would be extenuating circumstances. There are people who for a long time couldn't get over the Armando Galarraga game. And that was a regular season game, but that was history taken away from you by a bad call by an umpire.
Fair.
But that's still
fair,
you know.
Another buddy just texted me. He said the Big Ten championship game in football for him.
The Isaiah Lewis game?
Yeah, Isaiah Lewis ran into the punter because
because
State forgot the guy took it back.
Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, because they took the punt back all the way to the 4 yard line. Yeah. Looked like they were set up to score the game winning touchdown, and there's a flag, and you're like, really?
And it was ticky tack. Yeah. I mean, there was a little contact, but it really.
Oh, he got him. He got him. I enjoyed that moment.
He sold it.
Yeah, I enjoyed that moment. That was a great moment.
But once again, it was a championship game on the line.
Yeah.
It allowed your team to go to the Sugar Bowl.
It sure did.
As they were sitting on the couch.
It sure did.
Doing nothing.
Yes. That was Denard. That was right. Denard in the Sugar Bowl that game when they beat Virginia Tech?
I believe that was the same one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they didn't want to play Baylor in RG3.
All righty, I'll read this text here. I was in middle school when it happened, but it was the playoff game where LeBron scored 25 straight points. I literally cried.
Oh, my
but
God.
But that's allowed. Where was he?
Playoff game.
He's in, no, middle school.
Oh, correct.
You're right. Younger. Correct.
Yes, you're
now,
okay.
Now, if he told me he was 60, I get it. But once again, younger, devastating. Things happen.
I'll give you this one. Someone says, I'm 61. Still get fired up when MSU plays Michigan. I will say I take losses better than I used to as long as we didn't deserve to win. But when I stop getting fired up, I'll know it's time to start digging the grave.
And once again, people, you can be excited. You can get angry if a loss happens. You can get happy when you win. I'm talking about just utter devastation that Rieger is sitting there whispering to me on the phone and I thought something was wrong. He's like, no, I'm still bummed out over this game. Like, seriously, brother? It's been 24 hours.
Someone is asking, real quick, Tom is asking, does game 163 count as a regular season game?
Oh, you know what? That qualifies, I think, upset for a few days.
No, I think that was the precursor to the wild card.
Oh, the extra wild card game?
Yeah.
That was the precursor to the wild card game.
I mean, it doesn't count as, it counts as regular season stats. But yes, Brandon Inge getting hit, the jersey hit, and they never called that. I mean, yeah, there were some brutal plays in that game. That's okay to me. That counts. But yeah, he brings up the LeBron game. That's when Jason Maxiell decided to be a matador and just let everybody go right down the lane.
I mean,
LeBron, you're in the way. Here, go ahead.
Yeah, I was.
Take a nice path.
Here you go. Yeah, I was there for that game.
Yeah.
And you didn't realize at the time that nobody else scored,
right?
But him,
yes.
Until everybody was like, "You do it!" Like, no, he did. Wait, did he? He did. He did. Wow. But yeah, he made another basket. He made another basket. Yeah, he took the thing over.
I think did McDice get thrown out of that game early? If I'm not mistaken,
I think so.
Yeah. Well, he was a good guy, Antonio McDice.
He got tossed out of the Spurs.
Oh, that was the Spurs game. Ory game, maybe.
Yes, it was the Spurs game because he said he was just walking around Auburn Hills. He was so angry that he said he got dressed and just started walking around Auburn Hills. He was that angry. He didn't want to
downtown,
go home.
Downtown Auburn Hills,
right.
The metropolis that is Auburn Hills, Michigan.
The gas station and the garbage dump.
Yeah, and the post Auburn Hills that became like a Cicerelli's place for a while. God, I love the palace.
All right, your phone call, Sticky Text next, 97.1.
248-539-9797. It's the Valenti Show with Rico. Stoney here for Mike all week. Kenny Cott is back healthy. Hatchet Man back there doing his yeoman duty as he always do. By the way, I do want to take a chance to say happy birthday to my twin daughters, Marissa and Jessica, 25 years old. Oh, my Lord. It's unbelievable.
I feel old because I remember when Wojo used to make fun and call them Jasmine and
Miranda. Mm-hmm. He still does. He still does when he sees them. Absolutely. Rojo calls everybody's kid by the weird names. He calls Rieger's daughter
Pickle.
Yeah. And her name's okay. Olive.
Time goes
fast, man. It's ridiculous because I was sitting there going, wow, the next 25 years, when they turn 50, God willing, I'll be 91.
Yeah. Stoney at 91. Think grandmother from Wedding Crashers, folks.
Still roaming the halls trying to get on.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
What do you mean 90's not a good demographic?
All right.
Talking about losses that still stick with you because our buddy Rieger, as we just mentioned, he was devastated. Devastated by a regular season loss, Michigan to Michigan State on Friday.
Yeah, he hated the fact that Michigan State went into Chrysler. Dusty May got the contract right before the game started, and Michigan just looked like they didn't care. And then you had Vlad Golden proposing to his girlfriend right after the game. He's just like, they just don't get it. They don't understand the rivalry. I'm like, well, this is the transfer portal.
Right.
Exactly. And unless you have a coach like Tom Izzo, like, you know, guys, you're not going to do this. But, yeah,
Right, the coach doesn't understand the rivalry yet either.
I have to think back. I don't think that there's anybody from the state of Michigan on that team unless it's like a walk-on on Michigan's team that actually know. Like, I know Will Cheddar played in the rivalry game.
Right.
But, you know, you could have left him out on the court for 40 minutes. I would have loved that, David.
Yeah, he didn't play very well at all.
He could have. You know what? Give him three more fouls. Just stay out there.
Can we count another team's regular season game? Because I think we needed the Capitals to lose last year. It was the last game of the season.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Oh, when Philly had to pull the goalie.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. I was a couple of days that one took.
Really?
Yeah. See, I wanted to be in the playoffs so bad last year, Rico. So bad.
I know, but see, that was one where that was your own fault. Like, you needed somebody else to cut your grass, and they didn't feel like cutting it down.
That doesn't make me feel better, Rico.
He's back with energy, folks.
Oh, good.
Kenny Cott, ladies and gentlemen.
Steve, you're on 97 on the ticket.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
I completely agree with letting things go, but I'm 65 years old, and I still can't forget I think it was 85-86 season, the Scott Skiles-led MSU team that went into Kemper Arena in Kansas and got absolutely ripped off when the clock stopped working for 15 seconds. And if I'm not mistaken, the NCAA actually changed the rules as to where you can play. Bad calls are one thing. I will never forget that ever.
Well, they changed the rule that you had to have a neutral person working the clock, I think. Okay, kind of like what they did with Spartan Bob and that. However, as the head coach of Kansas at that time, Larry Brown, told me when I brought up the same thing, Steve, he said, you people all forget. That didn't affect the game because I got a technical foul in arguing the way that something that happened in that scene, and you guys made technical foul shots, and that's what cost us the game.
They're saying at the 15 seconds not
right,
been there.
I understand that.
But they would have won the game.
But because of that, well, Michigan State ended up, for some reason, getting more points because Larry Brown was argued about it and got a technical foul.
Yeah, well, Larry Brown's going to say that, but that was...
Oh, I know.
That was a joke, man. It was beyond everything else. Bad calls I can give up. I'll never, ever forget that. And I will never root for Kansas. And I root against them every time they play.
Well, there's a lot. You know what? It wasn't a Kansas game. But to me, if you're going to go back, and Rico, I don't know if you'll agree or disagree. The Kenny Anderson one was more hurtful. Mm. And more, you know, that was more of a bad call than that. You know? Kenny Anderson of Georgia Tech in an NCAA playoff game, hit a shot that what they called a three, and it wasn't a three.
Yeah, 1990, I believe. Yeah. Yep, I remember that game because, that was just devastating.
That was worse.
Are you kidding me? That wasn't it. But now they have replays, so those plays wouldn't happen.
No.
But, yeah, because I'm trying to think, did he hit the three to send it to overtime?
That I don't remember, but I know that it shouldn't have been a three,
right. And
Spartans ended up losing because of it.
So maybe that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Let's say hello to Danny in Sterling Heights. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. Great subject. My epiphany came actually in a victory. What I used to do was run on the field after I did it in several stadiums and fields, but Michigan, Ohio State, 97. I'm running around the field like a maniac, and I realized I'm 8 years older than these guys, 8 to 10 years older. And I tried to run up to Jansen because he was standing on the field. I didn't have the guts to say anything to him, but I'm thinking, what are you going to say to this dude? You know, you're my hero. I'm like 8 to 10 years older than him. So I wish he was here to hear that. That's a true story. But,
By the way, you know, you could, if you would have known, because I didn't know until I heard something today, Jansen refuses to go in the ocean.
I heard all about that. I had a fun time with that. But Jansen was funny. I don't want to embarrass him, but I'm gotten close to him, and some dude in plain clothes made eye contact, and he obviously knew him. And he sounded like a little kid. He goes, man, we beat the living effing out of these. And he was going on, and it was cute, and it was funny because such a big dude was acting like a kid. And he really is. He's part of me being – I kind of thought I was pathetic at the time, so I went home. I sensed about the old girl, and I never really – got all bent out of shape anymore. But it's a true story. Funny subject, guys.
He grew up after that. Nah, it's okay, Danny. Yeah. But no, you get it. There's that one point where you're like,
a new one.
I mean, that's a different topic. But yes, I mean, this year, actually sitting there, the first game that Jace Richardson played and said, I was here when your father played his first game.
Oh, there's a lot of that in my life where you see kids.
Right, but I'm like, I was on this exact same court for his first game, and now there's his kid out there. And then I saw Jason afterwards. He was like, man, we're getting old. I'm like, I know. I'm like, I saw you. David, no, that's just old. Yeah, that's you play the old-timey music there.
I saw Jason earlier. That's good. You're right. I should have played the other.
I'm like, because it was just that moment of like, oh, my God, I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, we all have.
Yeah. All right, let's get a little football action in. Dave, we got any more ticket texts?
Yeah, let me read a couple here. Someone says, I cannot let go of the 2013 National Championship game for Michigan. They were up 13, and Luke Hancock had his one-hit wonder.
Well, so did Spike Albrecht, so let's be fair
here.
Yeah,
but we lost, so I don't care about Spike.
Who was a better player, Luke Hancock or Spike Albrecht?
I mean, both for nothing, so.
Luke Hancock was a better player.
Yeah. Here's a regular season one. Someone says, malice at the palace made me mad for a while because it made the fans in the city look stupid. It's kind of a different thing, though.
Yeah. Yeah, very different.
And that whole thing really still looked like something out of a movie, even to this day.
It did, yeah.
It doesn't look real. It looks scripted and, yeah.
I remember I met somebody it took him a couple years to get over Hearns losing to Sugar Ray. The second time when he got screwed by I think it was ruled a draw and Hearns really won the fight. But that was, Tommy represented a lot of people here, and they felt they got butthurt when he lost.
One more here says, regular season losses, you get to complain that night or by noon the next day. Bigger games get an additional day.
Okay, I'll give them that. And football gets bigger than basketball.
Because it's fewer games.
Yeah, especially in the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry because they only play once a year.
Right, but those like Rieger, they play again in a few weeks. Doesn't matter. Oh, he was fit to be tied. I was like, wow. I felt bad, but then I really didn't. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to twist a knife. All right, let's get a little football in. Let's touch the table. We'll do football blitz next, 97-1.
248-539-9797. All right. It's time for a little pigskin action. It's football today.
That's right. It is football today. So let's get to this because it is combine week.
Oh, boy.
First on-field drills will be Thursday, but I believe that's just kickers and punters, so no one cares about them. But I have a question regarding it because
the Niners need a new kicker.
Okay, so you care about the kickers.
The last kicker they got is absolutely horrible.
I don't know
what school he came from.
Uh-huh. Ashton Jeanty and Shedeur Sanders, both of them have decided not to participate in any on-field drills. They will only do medical and team interviews. So my question for you, since this is Combine Week, what is the best pathway for prospects at the Combine? To work out or not to work out?
Well, it depends, obviously. If you're a guy like Sanders or Jeanty, who are pretty much projected to be, top 15 picks, the only thing it could do is hurt you unless you really believe that your 40 time or whatever can propel you up, more spots so you can eventually make more money. But I think, working out is more important for the guys, down the end of the first round or even in later rounds. The most important thing for those guys is the interviews.
Yeah, I think if you're a top 10 pick, you have enough tape. People know what you can do. People know who you are. They've seen you playing games. They've seen you playing big games that you go there and you do that. Because here's the thing. If you're a top 10 pick, the only place you can go is down.
Mm-hmm.
You go out there, you have a bad 40 time. That could cost you. Now you're sliding down in the draft. It's just how it is. So they're trying to find bad things about you. And you know what? Watch the tape. I'm telling you right now, I'm not injured. I'm just come to my pro day, but you're not going to see anything here.
But here's my question, though. What's the advantage of doing it at the pro day if you're not going to do it at the combine?
Controlled environment. Because everything is, you're on your campus, on your practice field, you know, your receivers, everything. Because if you're a quarterback, you're throwing to brand new receivers. And yes, when you go to the NFL, you can be throwing to brand new receivers. But that's a problem I'll deal with later, because if they drop too many passes, well, is he overthrowing the ball? Is the spin off rate off? Like, no, I'm not giving you a chance to nitpick me. So I get it for those two. But yeah, for other guys, this is how you rise up in the draft. And, you know, next thing you know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, Jackson Dart goes in and kills. Nice first round pick.
I do have a question regarding Shedeur Sanders, because this also came out from Mel Kiper Jr. over the weekend about there's one NFL scout reportedly believes that Sanders' true value lies between 15 and 30. And if his last name was Williams, Shedeur Williams, he would be drafted in that spot. But then there's a quote here. It says that he's reportedly not the type of QB the majority of NFL teams are looking for right now. What does not the type of QB mean?
I don't know. He's got some mobility. He's not known to be a runner, though.
That's I don't know, David. That's got so many different layers on.
Like, it is. That's why I asked.
Like, do they say, is he too cocky?
I don't know.
You know, I don't know if he's.
Can he be as successful without his father there?
It felt strange to me to see that as a quote.
Because I look at the kid, and I actually think of all the quarterbacks, that's the one that I would take. Only because, look, there in college last year, there was no other quarterback that I would select if I was down by 6 points with the ball with 2 minutes to go, because he just made plays. He would just break the backs of defensive players. He would use his legs. He would use his arm. He has a very strong arm. He just had no O-line.
He also had Travis Hunter with him, too.
But he would throw. He wouldn't throw to Travis. He would throw to everybody. He would scramble. He's the type that it reminded me of. And guys, okay, I'm not saying he's Jaden Daniels, but it reminded me a lot of Jaden Daniels, where who did Jaden Daniels have other than Scary Terry? Exactly. He just found people, made plays, used his legs, scored. That's what I see from him. He just never had an offensive line. So, yeah, you put him on a team with offensive line, and I do think that you're going to see a good quarterback. Great, I can't say that, but I do think that he could be a good quarterback.
So, right there, we get to the future rookie quarterback. Let me get to a veteran quarterback here. That is one Matthew Stafford. Because over the weekend, report, he has been granted permission to talk to other teams. There are four teams that have shown interest. Before I give you those teams, let me give you what Stafford wants. According to reports, he wants $50 million AAV. $50 million AAV. Here are the four teams that have interest. Giants, Steelers, Browns, and Raiders. Now, the Raiders have a little layer to it, because they're also mentioned as maybe trading up in the draft for a quarterback. But Vic Toffer, who covers them for The Athletic, says that don't be surprised the Raiders go after a Cousins or Stafford.
Well, to me, if you're Stafford, and look, you already won a Super Bowl, you're going for the most money, or you're going for the best chance to win. And to me, the best chance to win is with your Steelers. I mean, they are technically a playoff team, even though they weren't great, but they have a really decent defense. They still have players. I mean, you still have a really good coaching staff. I mean, the Giants, yeah, they got neighbors. They're still a ways away. You look at the Browns, what do they have offensively? Nick Chubb, right? I mean, and the Raiders, they don't have really crap offensively. Why, if you're Stafford, would you want to go to any of those teams?
Right. Because I guess you have the Super Bowl ring already, so now it's about cashing in and making as much money as you can before you hang it up.
And it's wherever Kelly wants you to go.
I didn't want to say that, but yes, that as well. It is. I mean, you're going to end up, this is, like I said, this is when you see Emmitt Smith with the Arizona Cardinals or Jerry Rice with the Seahawks.
Like, yeah, I know.
This is not going to help his legacy, because he's literally just taking the paycheck and not necessarily going to a winning team if he is looking for $50 million, because I can't think of too many teams outside of the Raiders who would actually pay him that money.
No.
By the way, Stafford has made $364 million in his career so far.
Now, he just wants that one final payday, and David, the team that's going to pay you that amount of money, you probably don't want to play there.
You're right.
You know what he should do? Pick up the phone and call Aaron Rodgers and ask him, how does it feel to take a paycheck to pay for a bad team?
You're right about that. So let's get to some of the rules here that may be changed. And about an hour ago or so, sometime today, there was a proposal from an unnamed team to ban the tush push. Well, that team is now being revealed. It is the Green Bay Packers.
Not who I thought.
Who did you think?
I thought it would
be somebody from the Eagles division, right?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be like the Cowboys, or I thought it was going to be like the Kansas City Chiefs.
I thought it was going to be the Rams because they lost to them in the playoffs, but it was the Green Bay Packers. And
also lost to the Eagles in the playoffs.
Correct. So is this rule actually going to be changed? Because it talks... This is like 3 years in a row now, three, 4 years in a row.
No, it's
not. Will they do something?
I don't think they'll change it. I mean, it appears to be unstoppable. There have been a few times where they have stopped it. But you know what? If you're looking for, you know, everybody says, you know, sports obviously is entertainment. How much entertainment is there in the tush push, brotherly shove, whatever you want to call it? Not much. But there's not that much entertainment in a 1 yard run up the middle either.
Here's the thing, and I have this conversation with Mike all the time. Not you, Mike, but Mike Bellini. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's illegal.
Right.
Okay, you don't like the play does not mean it is illegal. I don't like the new kickoff rule. It's not illegal.
That may change as well, but we can get to that another time.
I hate it, but there's nothing. Oh, it's rugby. Stop it. Because here's what happened. Philly has mastered it. You know who hasn't mastered it? The Buffalo Bills did not master it. Why? They got stopped. Okay?
Yes.
Philly, it's inevitable. When the referee comes out and says, guys, look, if you keep this up, keep up these shenanigans, we're just going to go ahead and give them the touchdown. So I get if it were me, like every college team, I would send somebody to look at what Philadelphia does, right? And I would bring that to college. If I'm Michigan, I'm Michigan State, I would bring that to the Big Ten. It's
well, we
advantage.
Had the push, remember, the Notre Dame-USC game years ago.
Well, that was illegal.
Yeah.
But this isn't. So, no, you may not like it. Not illegal. Stop it. Be that defensive coordinator that figures out how to stop it. But other than that, really, honestly, the Eagles are the only team that run it well. Nobody else does it consistently.
See, Rod Marinelli would just talk about the pad level it's needed to stop it.
I don't like it, so I want to get rid of it. So that's how it works for me.
Why don't you like it, David?
Because no one else can do it. They're the only one team that can do it.
Okay, there it is. Okay, then they get better.
And they've done it with two different centers.
Hey, correct.
Get better.
Now, that's what I would do. You talk about somebody learning how to do it. If you're a college team or probably another, he won't do it to another NFL team, but bring in Jason Kelce. Show them. Consult on how to run this play.
David, if I was a college team, I would ask Philadelphia, can I come in and study this and talk to you guys for a day? Bring my offensive line coach, bring everybody in, take as many notes as possible, and then go back to your college. Because imagine if you're that college team that masters this, money in the bank.
How much more successful is the tush push than just a normal quarterback sneak, though?
I have to find that out.
Because mostly quarterback sneaks usually work. Obviously, tush push is a little more successful, but especially with guys like Josh Allen and, you know, taller quarterbacks.
Correct.
I always can't understand why Goff doesn't do it more.
Because he's not athletic.
You don't have to be athletic to go sneak one yard.
Actually, you do.
Okay.
You do. That is In Football Today.